All right, Asbury, and welcome back to the Embrace Radio Show. It is 1:02 p.m. on this sunny Wednesday afternoon. I'm here with Maria Brown and Esther Jadha from the Office of Intercultural Affairs. How are you guys doing today?
We're doing well. Doing Sophie, great. How are you?
I'm doing all right. Yeah. It's a
Sophie,
nice day.
How many weeks left for school?
I think, if I'm not wrong, I think we have about four.
Wow. Is that four plus finals?
Including finals.
Oh. How is that even possible?
It's been fast. It's been a fast semester.
It has been fast.
Oh, yeah. And I know our guest this week is graduating, if I'm not mistaken.
Four yes. weeks until the real world.
Yep.
So I guess now would be a good time to introduce him, you think?
Yeah, maybe. Or we could keep it a secret identity. The whole show. Then at the end, we could say, can you guess who we interviewed today?
That would be a great twist to the
guess
show.
Guess who? Except we're on video, so... People
that will
know.
Be a great twist. Sophie, thanks for that welcome and introduction. And
absolutely.
Good afternoon, Asbury University, to listeners on campus and listeners away from campus. Welcome to the Embrace Hour. It is a joy to be with you again this afternoon. I am Esther Jadha, the Assistant Vice President for Intercultural Affairs. And with me is the most delightful Maria Brown, Coordinator for Intercultural Affairs. And we haven't decided yet if we're going to reveal our guest's name to you, perhaps maybe halfway through the show. I hope you will forgive us for keeping it a secret. But I know that once you find out who it is, you will be elated to know this incredible individual that has been on campus, I cannot believe, for 4 years and is about to graduate. So welcome, Asbury, and I will turn it over to Maria with some announcements and to get us started.
Yeah, thanks, Esther. I've decided I'll talk to you, even though you were at chapel today speaking at the seminary chapel.
I am
and
so
you didn't
sorry.
Even tell me.
I am so sorry, Maria. Yeah. I hope that by the time the show is done, we will be talking, and perhaps we could go to European Delights.
You know, chocolate might fix it. Some chocolate or sugar in some form might fix the grief and anger.
You know, if you haven't been to European Delights in Brandon Crossing in Nicholasville,
you should go.
You have got to go.
It is amazing.
I think the only way I can convince Maria to continue to talk with me, which is critical for this radio show.
You need me right now.
I do need her to talk. And so maybe I just might take a trip to European Delights this evening, if she obliges.
I think you should. Yeah.
I hope she will oblige.
Except you're on a panel tonight, so I don't know if you
before the
time.
Panel. Let's make it happen.
Well, we are glad, Asbury, that you are back with us on the Embrace Radio Hour. We're back from 2 weeks ago. We interviewed David McCorvey, which was a really fascinating interview, Esther, as you remember. We talked a lot about making assumptions about people, and David kind of blew apart a lot of ideas you might have just by first glance. David is a basketball player and into opera and a musician and has a job opportunity with the school system, if I'm right,
yes.
in marketing. And so that was really a great conversation. I really enjoyed that conversation. And I know it meant a lot to you as well, Esther.
Yeah, I think it was amazing to hear David's desire to be a role model for others. And I forget, you know, Maria, I don't know where I was reading this, but I remember reading that it's so important to have mentors in life or role models that we can emulate. Because if we have nothing to look up to, we can lose our way through life and perhaps end up in places or in activities that we probably end up spending a lot of time undoing ourselves from. So it's so helpful to have role models. And I thought that was such an important piece that David brought to our conversation, that all of us need role models that will guide us and walk with us through life. But I also appreciated how he shattered all the assumptions. You know, so again, a lesson to never judge just based on what we see. So it's so important to go beyond that initial layer of just seeing you know, so
yeah.
So it was a great conversation with David. So,
yeah. And I think one of the things that stood out to me was the importance of experience as well. You talked a lot about being exposed to different kinds of lives and different kinds of careers, and what a difference that made for him, as well as being mentored. And it just struck me how God uses these experiences to deepen us and deepen our perspective, broaden us, and how it's important that we pay attention to what is around us. So, yeah, so I'm looking forward to our conversation today as well. So yes. We'll play a little game. We'll give our audience some clues about who you are. So before you say your name, why don't you tell us what year you are in school, your major, and what you plan to do after you graduate?
Okay. I'm currently a senior, so I'm graduating in a couple weeks. I'm a marketing major, and I'm planning to go to Azusa Pacific for grad school, in majoring in international business.
Wow, that's really exciting. I had no idea. This is why this show is so fun, because I don't know this stuff. I learn along with everyone else. Okay, so I don't know if any of our listeners know who you are yet, but maybe you could also tell us how you got to Asbury.
How I got to Asbury. It's just God brought me here, honestly, because I grew up in China, and I went to a small international school along with several other students that are currently here, Rebecca Kirby, Ryan Kim, Jedediah Hutt, former alumni Aletha Hutt, and after I graduated, I didn't know what I was going to do, but Dr. Thane Urey came to our school, and he told us about Asbury. Like, I almost didn't go to the meeting, but I'm so glad I did. And then
we're glad you did too.
How close you came to missing us.
Yeah, so close. But Ryan's like, oh, I want to go. So I was like, okay, I'll go. And then, so I was unsure about applying, and he encouraged me, and he said, don't worry about the money, if God wants you to be here, you'll be here. And so I just took a step of faith, and now I'm here.
Wow, I love that story. Should we tell people who you are now?
I wonder if there are any guesses, you know,
how would they guess?
Students?
There's no one here.
Faculty, staff, any guesses? You could send us via text. I'm sure you've got numbers for Maria and me.
You could text Sophie.
But it is such a joy, drum roll please, such a joy to welcome Adoni Marpna Lapang. I hope I got that right,
yes,
Adoni.
You got that right. You got that right.
So good to have you with us today.
It is glad good to have here. You with us. So we started out as we were getting ready for this show, and I'm really bad with names in general. That's the first disclaimer. I never remember anyone's name. This is a whole radio show on its own, right? Me and my problem with names. Problem number two is I'm always worried about mispronouncing someone's name, especially if it's not a typical English name. Mm-hmm. So I was asking you about your name, and you were explaining that what I've been calling you is not actually your name.
Well, tell us
about your name.
it is. Like, you nailed it. Like, the pronunciation was good. But so growing up in China, I attended an international American school, so they wanted me to take my dad's last name, but
which is
Lapang.
Okay.
And I'm from India, and the people group that we're from, we usually take the mother's last name. So on my passport and my legal last name is Marpna.
That is very fascinating. Yeah. So when you say the people group that we're from, can you tell us a little bit more about that people group?
So I'm from the northeast of India, Meghalaya, and I was born in Shillong. And our people are a minority group called the Khasis. And interestingly enough, like, the northeast of India has a lot of Christians, I think, like, 70% Christian.
Interesting. So that is where you were born,
yes,
correct?
That's
you were
where
born
I was
in
born.
India. Mm-hmm. And how old were you when you moved to China?
I was 3 years old.
So do you have memories of India at all?
I mean, I've gone back a couple times, but I grew up in China, so that's what I know.
Okay. So when your parents left India for China, did they go as missionaries or did they go in another capacity?
So my dad got the call in 98 to go, but we didn't.
And when you say call, do you mean from
call,
God?
Yeah, call from God.
Just checking on who was calling.
Yeah. Not Allah, not Krishna.
Not his business. It was God.
No.
God
was,
called.
It was
okay,
God.
We're clear
God.
On that.
Yes,
all right.
It was God. And so he was working in the church over back home. So he left that. And my mom had a government job, and she left that. It's like the story of Abraham leaving all our family and just stepping into the unknown and just trusting God. And, you know, like our family and people in the church, everyone was like very skeptical. And they're like, this is your calling. This is not our calling, so we won't support you.
Really? Even in the church?
Yeah, even in the church.
Wow.
In the church.
But that call was so certain for your dad.
It was so certain for my dad. My dad was like, you know, I trust in you and I know you'll provide for me.
I just have like goosebumps. That is an amazing story.
Yeah.
So can you talk a little bit about, or maybe if you know, how he felt that call? How did he know?
I think he was praying, and then he just felt like that a strong pull in his heart for China, and so he prayed about it, and then my mom also was praying, and she had that tug in her heart, and so he told her about it, and then she told that she also had the same call, so that was like a confirmation that this was from God, and. Yeah, and then they just took that step.
Wow. So they moved to China.
Yeah.
Did they go under an occupation to China?
We moved to Hong Kong.
Okay.
So he worked for a church there. And so my dad in India was one of the heads of the church in charge of church planting and he's one of the head pastors. So he left that position and he went to China and was smuggling Bibles across the border.
No way.
So he had to really humble himself.
Wow.
Like from being like a big shot or whatever and just smuggle Bibles across the border.
I am in awe. I mean, I'm serious. I'm like, your dad lived in India. He got a call to China from God.
Yeah.
He did it even though everyone around him said that's crazy.
Yeah.
He left everything he knew, a position of power, and he smuggled Bibles into China.
Yeah.
I mean, we could just end the show right now. This is enough for everyone to digest, right? That's an incredible heritage you have.
Yeah, and I definitely would not be here or see so much blessing in my life without my parents. They took that step, and because of that, I'm blessed.
Wow.
So I'm grateful.
Wow.
That is so good, Adoni, because we never know the inheritance, you know, we have and the blessings we live into is perhaps because of someone else's faithfulness.
Yeah.
And we need to be mindful of the fact that perhaps the goodness that comes to us in our lives is coming because someone else has been faithful. Someone else has been obedient and someone else has been persistent even when things have not been easy. So thank you for bringing that to our attention by talking about your mom and your dad and their faithfulness to what may perhaps seem like a strange call. You know, you mentioned like smuggling Bibles. It sounds scary, like you could be caught, and if you're caught, your life is over.
Yeah.
And it's amazing that God's protection has prevailed, you know, with them. So we're so glad that you're here as a result of their faithfulness. Mm-hmm. And you've witnessed a lot of blessings yourself.
Yes.
Since you've been here. So
yes.
Could you share with us what life has been since you joined the Asbury community here? What life has been like? A couple examples of the blessings you've seen, mm-hmm. The challenges that you've lived through, and how God has walked with you mm-hmm. in those.
Yeah, been here for 4 years. It just feels like home here. Yeah, just getting here, I didn't really know anyone, but right off the bat, like, God just brought people into my life that have just poured into my life, like Dr. Yuri and a lot of friends and Travis Spann, my pastor. So, yeah, it has been awesome, and like, the growth that I've seen in my life wouldn't have come about without those people.
Mm. For sure. Other people's faithfulness.
Yeah.
There's that theme again, yeah. Right?
Yeah.
And Esther is right. We rest on the faithfulness of others mm-hmm. before us and around us.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Can I take you back to China?
Mm-hmm.
So,
yes.
This happens to me every time we do a show. I'm like, I want to know all the things. Mm-hmm. So you were in Hong Kong first.
Yes, Hong
Your
Kong
dad
first.
Is smuggling Bibles into uh-huh. China. Uh-huh. And then at what point did you actually move to China?
So my dad started, like, just smuggling Bibles, mm-hmm. working at the office, doing, like, paperwork stuff. And then later they allowed him to go into remote places mm-hmm. in China and, like, start raising leaders and
the Chinese government did? Is that what you mean?
No, the church sent.
Oh, allowed sent, him to go.
Yeah, allowed okay. him to go. So, my dad had to go in secretly
because sure.
Christianity's not really allowed
right.
in China.
So was he sneaking into China or was he going in under the guise of a job?
He went with, like, a tourist visa.
Okay.
And then...
So it's like a little like Brother Andrew?
Yes.
Right?
Like, exactly like Brother Andrew.
Yes. Like I just read this book to my kids maybe last year.
Yeah.
And I was thinking, oh, Brother Andrew was, like, a long, long time ago, but he wasn't. And this is what he did, right?
Yes,
kept going
yes.
in.
Yes.
He so your dad Bibles. Is like Brother Andrew.
He's kind of like the modern day... Brother Andy.
Yeah. This just keeps getting better.
Yeah.
Your dad is like Abraham. He's like Brother Andrew. The show's amazing. Okay.
Yeah,
so he's sneaking Bibles in. And in the meantime, is your mom just staying with the kids?
Yeah. So I'm an only child. So my mom is taking care of me. And my dad, at this point, would be gone for sometimes like a month.
And any communication?
Weeks. Sometimes we didn't have like social media
sure
at that time. So
he wasn't updating his Twitter with like hashtag smuggling Bibles.
I don't know if my dad even tweets, but and then he started going to preach and teach
mm-hmm. In more rural areas
mm-hmm. and he had to like wear darker clothes and
really
yeah he had to be really he had to wear a hat and then it was just like
as a disguise
sort of to blend in
wow.
with the people because he's going into like places that you know
right
that foreigners don't go into
and he's meeting with are there Christians there already
yeah.
and
there's
he's working with
some
them.
Young believers so he's training the leaders and also teaching the new believers mm-hmm. there.
Wow. Mm-hmm. And how long did he do that then before you all moved to China?
He did that for 4 years.
Mm-hmm.
And then in 2003, we moved to, the end of 2003, we moved to Guangzhou,
mm-hmm.
China,
okay.
the mainland.
And is that a large city or a more
yes,
rural
it's,
area?
Yes, it's the third largest city in
okay.
China. currently.
And what did he do there?
So at first, he was going to, like, he was just, he was learning Chinese. So he went to a Chinese university.
Mm-hmm.
But then he just felt like that was not for him. Like, so he just went into ministry. Like,
mm-hmm.
he started getting connected with different other believers around China, different cities, and he'd go and then start building or like raising churches.
Mm-hmm. And is he still doing that now?
Now he's more focused on like staying in our city.
Okay.
He's started an underground church in Guangzhou.
So there's still an element of
some
danger to what he's doing.
Yes, for sure, for sure, for
wow.
sure. For sure.
This is just a really amazing story. I don't know what other word I have to describe it. And I'm just really moved by the idea that your entire life trajectory
mm-hmm.
changed when God called your dad and
yes.
that your dad
yes,
said yes.
For sure. For sure.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's really, really incredible. Mm-hmm. I'd like to hear more about China, India, international school, because I think there's probably a lot there as far mm-hmm. as your culture mm-hmm. and identity. Mm-hmm. But I think we have time for a break now. And you've picked out one song for us, right?
Yeah.
Is there anything about this song that you want us to know?
I just picked it. I didn't really have a song prepared, but...
You like this one.
I think it just sounds good.
All right. All right. So we'll be back shortly.
Inside me, and you call me out to pull me in. You tell me I can start again, and I don't need to keep on hiding. I'm fully known and loved by you. You won't let go, no matter what I do. And it's not one or the other. It's hard truth and ridiculous grace to be known, fully known and loved by you. I'm fully known and loved by you. It's so like you to keep pursuing. It's so like me to go astray. But you guard my heart with your truth, the kind of love that's bulletproof. And I surrender to your kindness. Oh, I'm fully known and loved by you. You won't let go, no matter what I do. And it's not one or the other, it's hard truth. Last grace to be known, fully known and loved by you. I'm fully known and loved by you. How real, how wide, how rich, how high is your heart? I cannot find the reasons why you'd give me so much. How real, how wide, how rich, how high is your heart? Now I cannot find the reasons why you give me so much. I'm fully known, fully known, and loved by you. You won't let go, no, you won't let go, no matter what I do. It's not one or the other, it's hard truth and ridiculous grace to be known, fully known.
Asbury. Welcome back to the Embrace Radio Hour. We are here with our man of mystery, Adani Lapong, or Marpna, right?
Yes, yes.
Okay. And Adani's been telling us about what his parents did when he was 3 years old, which was hear a call from God, mm-hmm. move their entire family from India to Hong Kong and smuggle Bibles into China, and then move to China and begin doing work with the underground church there, mm-hmm. which has been a really amazing story of faith mm-hmm. and heritage of faith and following God and trusting him. And I have been amazed. So I hope that our listeners are also feeling amazed and encouraged by what God is doing, right? A lot of times we hear these stories of incredible trust in God or risky faith or evangelizing unchurched, people who have not heard of God. And we think that was a long time ago. But to hear it now as in present day, that God is still at work like this, is really mm-hmm. encouraging and exciting. And and you've been walking around with a story all your time here at Asbury. And even Sophie didn't know. So I'm so glad that we are telling your story, that you're mm-hmm. helping us understand. So we would really like to know now, what was it like for you to be of Indian descent growing mm-hmm. up in China?
I was always, I was very, very blessed to be able to grow up in China, because God has just blessed me so much. Like my lifestyle in China compared to what it would have been in India is a lot better. So it was really good. When I was younger, you know, like skin color or mm-hmm. whatever, it's not very important. Like, I didn't really notice that. Mm-hmm. But once I grew a bit older, like, and moved to China, I began noticing it because people would point that out, you know. And in China, it's a very homogenous mm-hmm. society. So it's not that they're racist, but if you're different, mm-hmm. you know.
There's not a lot of exposure.
There's not a lot of exposure, but now it's getting a lot better. There's a lot more international people from different countries, mm-hmm. foreigners in the country. So it's got a lot better.
Was that difficult for you as a child to feel different?
Yeah. Sometimes it was difficult. I went to an international school, and I was almost always the only, usually always the only Indian kid and the darkest kid. So I noticed that, and like, you know, kids, mm-hmm. they'd point that out, you know? So yeah, it was difficult because sometimes I felt like I was lesser human. I was not on the same level mm-hmm. as them. So yeah, that, like, I was ashamed of that sometimes. Mm-hmm. But
it's interesting how we as humans uh-huh. tend to do that categorization of people based on what we can see across cultures, right? So mm-hmm. this has come up before as we've talked on this show, that racism or prejudice or bias is not just an American problem. Mm-mm. It's a human issue. And we tend to categorize people all the time. And so the easiest thing is the way that we look. Mm-hmm. But it's interesting how we internalize that, right? Mm-hmm. Either as if you're the majority, as somehow you're better, and if you're not the majority, that it becomes a source of shame. Mm-hmm. So how did you navigate that as a child? What helped you with those challenges related to ethnicity?
I think just in China, that that never really left. I mean, I guess I just decided to, you know, ignore it and just be around people that, you know, that accept me and see me as another, mm-hmm. just, you know, another friend, another brother in Christ. But I think when I came to the U.S., that's when I just found my identity in Christ. And being here at Asbury has been really great for me, because I never felt like a second class human being here. So that's great.
What do you think it was or is about Asbury's community that has helped you feel included, part of, and not on a different level than others?
I think it's just everything that's happened in American history, mm-hmm. I think it's just part of the culture where you just accept everyone, mm-hmm. and like judge everyone by the content of their character. Mm-hmm. So I just think it's just ingrained. It started off as a melting pot, and they, you know, like, people have freedom of speech.
Mm-hmm. So coming from a country, China, where most people look Chinese, mm-hmm. right? Everyone mm-hmm. looks alike. For you, coming to the United States was easier because maybe, one, there is some more diversity.
Yes, there's a lot more
right?
and diversity.
And a troubled but broader history with mm-hmm. people mixing, mm-hmm. right? So not mm-hmm. a good history, but we're grappling with it. And so mm-hmm. it sounds like that made it easier for you because it was a conversation we're having.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yes, for sure. For sure.
Wow. So did your family celebrate Indian culture while you were in China, or did you feel like you just absorbed Chinese culture and that's what you most identified with?
We didn't really celebrate any festivals or anything. I mean, my parents still made Indian food, so mm-hmm. and they spoke their language. But other than that, we just absorbed the Chinese culture.
So when you think about your cultural influences, is Chinese culture the most prominent influence in your life?
Yeah, I would say so. Okay. I would say so.
So if you think about how you identify yourself, do you identify as Chinese?
Not really. I really don't know. 'Cause whenever I'm in India, like, I know I'm Indian, but I'm still different because I didn't grow up there. Mm-hmm. I'm not used to communicating in my native language, mm-hmm. so I sound like a foreigner when I try to speak. Mm-hmm. And in China, I'm, you know, like, I don't look Chinese, mm-hmm. so I'm a foreigner there. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. I don't know. I identify as a citizen of heaven. Mm-hmm. God's family.
All right. Yeah. So these different cultural influences that have shaped you, mm-hmm. but not allowed you to be all one thing, right? Mm-hmm. That struggle has actually forced you more so than others are forced mm-hmm. to identify as a citizen of the kingdom, right? That mm-hmm. that's your identity.
Yes,
you said
kingdom,
that earlier as mm-hmm. well. My identity is in Christ. That's what helped me navigate the mm-hmm. struggles of being the only Indian mm-hmm. In a group of people that didn't look like you. Mm-hmm. Right. And that comes around in these conversations over and over and over again when we talk to MKs, when we talk to U.S. ethnic minorities, when we talk to international students. The number one thing that helps them navigate their identity is finding their identity in Christ, which is mm-hmm. universal, right? Mm-hmm.
Adoni, thank you for continuing to share with us your story. You reminded me of a couple significant points about ethnicity and culture and who we are in Christ. And I'm fascinated by the possibility that oftentimes we don't know that we're different till somebody points it out, mm-hmm. or calls it out in us, or we come in contact with something that causes us to recognize our own differences, right? So whether seeing ourselves in the mirror and realizing I look different, or having someone say, hey, you're not Chinese, or you're not mm-hmm. Indian, or mm-hmm. you're not, you know. So I think that is such an intriguing aspect of human behavior. And then I'm further confounded because I'm not sure why that often takes a negative turn. Mm-hmm. Why is it that we as human beings just quickly jump to being different as negative, as opposed to just an identifier, mm-hmm. right? And so I continue to stay confounded by that, but I understand that oftentimes taking these differences to the extreme end into negativity are really connected with the fallen human nature. Mm-hmm. All right? And so the fact that we are fallen and we have a propensity to sin, which is only corrected and can be corrected through the work that God has done in Jesus Christ for us, right? So we have the opportunity to align ourselves in a right way if we enter this relationship with Christ. We could go on and have a theological lesson right now, but I will pause there and just want to ask you, you know, how has your faith shaped your cultural understanding, your notion of race relations? Mm-hmm. How do you see that interplay taking place in your own life and in your experience? So has faith informed how you perceive and interpret the cultural other? Has faith given you certain ways in understanding the other? Mm-hmm. Does that?
Yeah, that makes sense. I think first I'd just like to clarify, like, China's a great place, and the times where I did face, like, you know, a little bit of racism, that was just like very small. Like, I've met a lot more good people mm-hmm. than I have bad people, and it's just perspective. Mm-hmm. Just choose how you want to see it. There are racist individuals that, you know, they're struggling. They have their own struggles. They don't know Jesus. But there's a lot more good people, and people that are just don't know. Mm-hmm. With my faith, I think just growing in my faith and just in just the different cultures, just we're just taught to love each other. So, you know, I'm not the best at that, but I think that is what the second greatest commandment, mm-hmm. and that is what, you know, I strive to do. But, you know, I'm not perfect at that. I fail a lot, and so I think just remembering that and just focusing on Christ and just let Christ transform you, and the way, and once he does that, that just changes the way, like, you approach other people. It also changes the way you view others, because it's very easy to, like, to react because to someone different. But sometimes you need, it's as you walk with Christ, you'll have more wisdom to just take a step back and just analyze and see where they're coming from, and the cultural norms, you know. So
So seeking to understand the other,
yeah,
is a piece that you would share with our community.
Yes.
That faith, our Christian faith, when we are in the right relationship with Jesus Christ, and what that means is acknowledging that he's our Savior.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That empowers us to then continue to do this hard work of seeing our neighbors as persons we must love and respect and honor, mm-hmm, and care for. Mm-hmm. That's very helpful, Adone. In fact, I was just in a conversation yesterday with someone who continued to express the importance of using our biblical and theoretical framework, mm-hmm, to really engage in the work of cultural responsibility, because we don't learn to love unless we have been loved, mm-hmm, and we experience love, mm-hmm, right? And so oftentimes I think the failed relationships, while they could be out of the choices we make, perhaps it also connects back to the fact that we may have not fully experienced God's love. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So thank you for bringing that important aspect to our attention, that there is something good in each one of us, mm-hmm, but that good can be activated, mm-hmm, when it is connected to a life, mm-hmm, in Jesus Christ. Because the good that we can do without Christ, I think it's limited. I think, mm-hmm, the good that I can do for anyone in my own strength, mm-hmm, is so limited because it'll come to an end pretty quickly.
Yeah.
But when it flows out of my relationship with Jesus Christ, mm-hmm, then I think it has a capacity to endure and, mm-hmm, persist. And that's what you're...
Yes, yes. Yeah. And as you were saying, like, loving like in your own strength, I was reading in Luke, and this one verse that really convicted me was like you're saying, like in that verse it said, like, what good is it, like, to love those who love you, mm, and do good to those who do good to you, like, even sinners do that. So, you know, as believers, as we're transformed by him, you know, we need to be different, and that is one way that we can practice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this has stirred a couple of thoughts in me, which might be slightly confusing. If I try to say them, I'm just going to go for it.
We were
talking about complexity. Esther, you said, you know, when as humans we take complexity and differences among people, and we tend to just make it a negative thing. And it made me think about sort of the paradox of the kingdom. You know, you were saying your identity is really in the kingdom, right? And if we're really rooted there, we find ourselves oftentimes in a paradox, right? We are strong because we are weak. Mm-hmm. God's strength,
amen,
works in our,
amen,
weakness. We are found because we are lost. Right? We are loved even though we have nothing in and of ourselves to, mm-hmm, be loved. So I'm thinking that paradox exists in complexity as well, mm-hmm, that our sinful nature takes complexity and makes it a negative thing, when in fact the complexity that we see among people and the differences among people is really a reflection of the creativity of God, mm-hmm, and of the kingdom, right? That God is abundantly complex and creative. And if we can see it as that, and then I think we can enjoy and appreciate others, mm-hmm, instead of feeling like everyone needs to be the same, right? So, mm-hmm, just made me think of the kingdom again. And, mm-hmm, and if we are really citizens of the kingdom, then we are going to have our identity there, mm-hmm, and we're going to be okay with paradox and tension,
yeah,
and we're going to live out of that, right?
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Amen.
I really like the like what you brought up about in our weakness we're made strong. That is one lesson that I have to like consistently learn, mm, while I was here, just trying to do things on my own or do things to sort of like earn God's love, you know, mm-hmm, like I come from my background, like, the school and the culture, it's all like performance based, but that's like not what God wants from us. God wants a relationship. So
That makes me think then again of your dad, that in his weakness, if you could call it that, of doing something that people didn't think he should do, going to a place that was scary and doing a job that had a lot of danger to it, that in that, him giving himself over to that and what God was calling him to do, that God provided so abundantly. Right. So we're going to take another break before we come back and close off our show. And you've picked out another song for us. Anything in this one we should know, or is it just a fun one to listen to?
I think it's just another fun one.
We're just having fun.
Yeah, I just like it.
All right.
Just like how it sounds.
All right, Asbury, we'll be back in a few.
Raindrops rolling off my brim. Street lights got the pavement glistening. Touchdown, I fall into your arms, right where I belong, your everlasting arms. And where would I be without you? I'd be packing my bag when I need to stay. I'd be chasing every breeze that blows my way. I'd be building my watch it fade away. It's true, that's me without you.
Welcome, Asbury. It is good to be with you this afternoon. And we have had with us Adonai Marpna Lapang. It has been an honor to be able to hear his story, to listen to how God works in our life. It reminds me of prevenient grace, that God's grace was already present even before Adonai's story began. in the lives of his parents. Mm-hmm. And so he now lives and works out of the bounty of those blessings that have come to him. Adonai, thank you for also reminding us that navigating cultures, while at different ages in life can seem attractive, is a difficult process. Mm-hmm. Because cultures are complex. We as individuals are complex. But the beauty is that God is the creator of all these things. And so we have the opportunity through him to make sense, to make meaning of the life and the culture that we get to inhabit. So thank you for showing us the value of that. As we wrap up the show in a couple minutes, I want to invite you to share with us, you know, what would you like your peers to know? Like, why should we care about cultures, and why should we care about the people in those cultures, which also includes our culture at home right here in North America. So why care about people and the cultures they inhabit?
Well, first, like, you know, it's commanded in the Bible. And, you know, we're called out to, you know, to go and spread the gospel. And you know, sometimes it might just be people right here, but sometimes you know, God's going to call you to go out.
Mm-hmm.
So there's that. And, you know, that, yeah, like what you were saying, culture is scary. Things that are different might be scary, intimidating, not comfortable. But just you don't have to focus on that. Focus on God and just rest in him. And just, there's one thing that I always like, a type of prayer, like, God, I don't know how to do this.
Mm-hmm.
Just like tell him, you know, and just trust him. Like, if you just say it out, like, it really helps. And if you ask, and it's according to his will, he will come through.
Mm-hmm. That's great. That's great. Adonai, I'm so glad we got to have you before you graduated. And I'm so excited that you will be heading over to Azusa Pacific. Yeah. Heartiest congratulations on that acceptance. And I hope that things will go well for you in that process.
Thank you so much.
I'll hand it.
Adonai, it's been so great to have you on the show and to hear your story. It was a real gift for me personally, and I trust it was for our listeners as well, just to hear about your dad's faith, your mom's faith, their trust in God's provision, and then your life navigating a few different cultures. And what has come through so clearly in our conversation is being first and foremost a citizen of the kingdom, and mm-hmm. that who you are is not Indian or Chinese or American, but a citizen of God's kingdom. And that out of that, our inheritance in that is abundance and provision, right? So mm-hmm. as we navigate culture mm-hmm. and relationships and life, that our weakness really is God's strength, mm-hmm. and he really does provide. And I love what you said, you know, this prayer of, I really can't do this.
Mm-hmm.
And I wonder if perhaps that prayer is an echo of your parents' prayer when they began their ministry, that they were not probably equipped Mm-mm. in the ways that the world would say they should have been,
mm-hmm.
and yet God provided. And what a gift for you then to live this way now.
Mm-hmm.
And I trust that our listeners will hear that and be encouraged in their own lives, in their own daily lives, whatever that looks like, to allow God to equip them and provide for them and allow their weaknesses to be his strength, and to see themselves ultimately as citizens of the kingdom, and to remember what our inheritance is in that kingdom. So thank you so much.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, I think we could do a whole nother hour and talk about, we need to have your dad on is what we need, and talk to him about smuggling Bibles. And yeah, so yeah. Thank you. And Asbury, we're excited to tell you that we'll be back next week. Same time, same place, same people, except this time we'll be interviewing Daniel Aziz from Pakistan. And he has a very fascinating story. I'm excited to hear from him. Thank you for tuning in. Enjoy the beautiful weather, and we'll see you next week.
Thank you.
Thank you.